If you're a small business owner and you're trying to build a brand and generate leads, I just did a full keynote at GymCon talking about business in general and how to generate leads for your business. Enjoy.
Okay. So last one's referral. And I'm going to say, when I say referral here, I mean a referral partner, meaning you have a chiropractor, you have a doctor that you helped out, and they have a huge practice, and they start sending you, and you create some sort of relationship. That, you still do these things to attract this person. And if you're like, man, if I only, I've got this one guy and he sends me like half my customers. Well, how amazing would it be if you had 10 of those guys or 20 of those guys? Well, you know how you do that? You ask them, you reach out to them, you give them gifts, you bribe them. Really? That's how it works. And you know how you bribe another business owner? You send them business. If you want someone to send you business, send them business first. Little rule of life. It works a lot better that way. Okay, so we have our inputs and our outputs in the system, right? So it starts with advertising. And for the vast majority of you guys, you are not advertising enough. That's it. Who here spends 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, advertising doing one of those four things? Does your gym make money? Yeah. It's like, I don't have a gym, but yes, I make money. It's like, what are you doing here? It's called GymCon. All right. I promise you, if you spend four hours a day is not much. Like 4 hours a day. I don't know. Like, what are you doing? Why your business isn't growing? You're not trying to grow it. All right, cool. Well, I mean, we could just stop there. None of you are even doing it. All right. Well, let's talk about efficiency while we're at it. It doesn't matter because you're not putting anything in the system anyways, but let's talk about it. So fundamentally, I'm being dead serious. It's like it doesn't. If I were to spend a full day with each of you, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, what are we going to do with the rest of our 7 hours and 40 minutes that we have for this day, because that's the problem. But okay, let's talk about efficiency. So fundamentally, you got to let people know. Fantastic. Now they know, you got to get them to give you money, which is going to be the conversion process. All right, cool. Conversion is going to be the next step in this efficiency. I'll give you a little spoiler of the next ones. Then you've got your price, and then you've got your churn. And I'm saying this specific to gyms because it's recurring business. Okay, so if we think about what a business is, you get more customers or you make them worth more. That is the only way that you will make more money. Fundamentally, that is it. There's no other way. Get more customers, make them worth more. If we double click into each of these, getting more customers means you need more traffic and better conversion. And so if right now you're not getting enough customers, it means you need more traffic or better conversion. If you need to make your customers worth more, the only thing you can do to make them worth more is you raise your prices, you decrease churn. That's what you have control over. And so if you're like, okay, how do I make my customers worth more? Raise your prices, get them to buy more times. That's what churn, decreasing churn is. Get them to buy for 10 months rather than 5 months or 3 months. And so the idea here is that once we feed the machine, this is the raw input, this is eyeballs, this is the activities that you do that get people to find out, then it's about how many of these things can we turn into money and how much money can we turn it into. And so the most efficient gyms are ones that convert a very high percentage at a very high price and get people to buy lots of times. And so this is from a constraints perspective of figuring out what's wrong with your gym. And for everybody who didn't raise their hand, which is literally everyone here, it's this, but we'll talk about the other three, is that you have steps within this conversion process. You have to get them to schedule, you have to get them to show, and you've got to close. So who here sucks at sales? Can I get a hand? Some of you suck at sales, that's fine. It's helpful to actually, it's like the first step is being like, hi, my name's Sarah, and I can't close a door. It's okay. And so if you want to get better at sales, if that's the problem, you're getting leads in the door, but you can't close, then you practice closing and you do that for 4 hours a day. And so there's probably a meta takeaway here, which is that whatever the big problem in my business is, that's what my first 4 hours every day are spent doing until I solve that problem. And then I change what that 4 hours is spent on. But that 4 hours that I spend in the morning before everyone gets there, or if you're a late night person, the last hours of the day when everyone's asleep, that is what moves the business forward. The vast majority of people skip those 4 hours and go straight to firefighting all day. But the thing is that if you look back on last month or 2 months or 3 months back, the only thing that you really will have to show for progress is what you did in those 4 hours. It's something that it took me a little bit of time to realize. And I was like, oh, if I don't do it in that 4 hours, nothing big moves forward. But what I can promise is that I don't remember any of the fires that I put out last month. The fires are going to happen and they will get put out. You'll also find that if you ignore them, they tend to also go away. Real talk. And so if you're having a conversion issue from sales, you practice sales. The way you practice sales is you role play. You do it with somebody else. Play with a friend. That's how it works. And you want fast feedback loops. You need to be able to breathe the script. And the secret to making sure that you don't sound dumb in the sale is you make them sound dumb in the sale. And you do that by asking questions. So no one can oppose you. This is a little pro tip. No one can oppose you if you make no statements. So whoever answers questions in the sale is the one who's losing. And so you can even address this with every single obstacle that you ever come in contact with. Well, what certifications do you guys have here? Which ones are you looking for? They don't know. This is a question their friend told them to ask. They have no idea. And then they're like, what are the workouts like? Well, what's your dream workout? They tell you. And you're like, well, it's not that. If I really were, I'd be like, well, how's that working for you? Well, I don't do them. Okay. That's why you're here? Cool. Well, then why don't you do our workouts? So the thing is there's always a way to sidestep objections by just asking what they're trying to get out of the question that they're asking you. And most of the time, they have no idea. Because you should know the answer to their question better than they do because you've had this conversation before. Imagine having the same conversation over and over again and sucking at that one conversation. Mind blowing. It's also like not advertising your fucking business. Anyways, so you've got show rates, you've got schedule rates, and you've got close rates. So that's our conversion efficiency. And so whichever one of these is below benchmark is the one that you spend your hours on. I'll also promise you that schedule rate and show rate, if you actually spend 4 hours a day on it, will not be a problem at all. But everyone just wants this to just go away magically and wants everyone just like show up ready to close. Like, my leads suck. All leads suck until they become customers and they're amazing, right? But then like the process of taking a lead and making it into a customer is work. And everyone's afraid of doing that. And so now we get into LTV. So you advertise more, you work on these things for conversion to increase the conversion rate you have in the business. And then you've got price and churn. Now, Kale, I'm sure, talked about pricing at some point. Yes? Okay. You're probably priced too low. And it's not because we want to destroy your gym. You're priced too low because at that price, you will not make a profit. The amount of times that I had gym owners who were like, my gym's full and I'm not making money. And I was like, do you see a problem? Like, you can't service any more customers, but you don't make any money. Get where I'm going with this? Like, something has to change. And if you're already full, we just need to increase the price. You're mispriced, and that's okay. Like, that's how you learn. But for many of you, you just need to send an email and send a letter and let people know that from this point going forward, this is the new price. Grab your big boy and big girl pants and say, like, I'm going to take this risk because the other way is guaranteed to never work. That's the thing. It's like, we want to stay in the same boat and be like, you know what? Even though all the math makes sense with this higher price, I'm afraid, and I'm going to let that stop me forever from getting the business to be where it needs to be. That sucks. So don't think that. Make the bet, and then deliver like that actually is your price, and do a really good job on the back end. And the way that you do a good job, which Jim Launch has already given you, but you have exit interviews with people on the way out the door. You can save half of them by saying, oh, you're right. I didn't give you enough support. You should go into this hire thing. That's what actually gives you the support. You save half your customers. Awesome. You reach out to them every 2 weeks or so as though you actually cared about them. That was a joke. But no one laughed at that one. Anyways, so you reach out to them every couple weeks and you just make sure it's a touch base. It's a pulse check. You don't even need to talk about fitness. It's just to make sure that they know that you know that they exist. You track attendance. When someone says that they're actually going to show up for a time, you make sure they show up. And if they don't show up, you say, hey, Marley, where were you? I missed you. We actually track this, and we could watch people go from three times a week, three times a week, two times a week, one time a week, cancel. You can just watch it if you track attendance. But if you implement that, you go three times a week, three times a week, two times a week, Marley, get your ass in here, three times a week, three times a week, and she keeps going. They have to know that they're missed. The next one, and this is something that happened later in my life that I learned, is about onboarding. So when somebody comes in the door and you do sell them, the next 24 hours are absolutely crucial to setting all the expectations of what their experience is going to be. And so right now, if your onboarding process is show up on Monday, tough, very hard. And so if there's ever a time where you invest more resources into a customer, it's in that first 24, 48, 72 hours, so that they know exactly where they're going to go, at what time, who's going to talk to them, who reconfirms they're showing up because they're petrified because they haven't worked out in 6 years and they feel terrible and they used to be a high school weight and they can't look at the scale now because it makes them feel terrible, whatever, right? And we have to deal with this by over-communicating in the window of time that makes the most sense. And so even if it feels like it takes a little bit more effort, I promise you, you will get 2, 3, 5 more purchases from this person in terms of months by just making sure that they know when they're supposed to be there, who's going to be there to welcome them, and who's going to show them around a little bit in the beginning so that they don't feel like they're completely lost. Okay. That's churn. Fantastic. So right now, if your business is not growing as much as you want, you're not advertising enough. If you're advertising enough and people are finding out about it, you're getting leads, they're either not scheduling, not showing, or not closing. If it's one of those three, then all of your effort in that first 4 hours of the day is to getting them to schedule, getting them to show, getting them to close. If you're getting all of that stuff, you've got lots of people and you're closing them all, but you're not making any money, you're mispriced. And if you're getting all of this and you have a high price, but everyone falls out the back door, you have to make your stuff better. And this is how you walk through it. This is how you figure out what the problem in the business is. And so who here has capacity in their gym right now? Okay. Start there. So that is part one of my talk. Everyone feel good about that? Okay. Thank you. So part two of the talk is reverse engineering your goal. And so the reason that I broke down the activities that you need to do into those four things is because we have to figure out how many activities equals one customer. So if you know that on average you post, let's say, 30 times a month, so you post 30 times a month, and from those 30 posts that you make, you get 5 customers. Which for most of you is not the case because you're local businesses and this doesn't work that way. But since that's what 20% of you are doing, we'll talk as though that's what happens. So if you make 30 posts, you get 5 customers. You could say for every 6 posts, I get 1 customer. Okay, so I need to make more posts and I need better posts. And if you're like, okay, I want to get to 25 customers is my goal. This is the goal. Then I need to 25x this. So I need to make 150, which means I need to do 5 a day. Okay, this is something I can control. Is this making sense? This is literally what I do with the businesses that we buy. I just boil everything down to like, what do we do that makes us money? Not all the stuff after that. What do we do that makes us money? And they're like, okay, we have an outbound team. I'm like, okay, so what are the outbound activities? It's like, well, We haven't tracked it well yet. Well, start. So let's say you do 100 reach outs. And that creates one customer. Okay. And currently you're getting 10 customers. Currently. Fantastic. And so that means you're doing 1,000 per month, which means you're doing 30 per day. Okay. Well, if I want to get to 50 customers a month, then I need to 5x this to get to 150 per day. And then that gets me my 50 customers. And what's interesting is that when you do actually increase the volume that much, you also get better. So you actually get leverage on the time because your skill improves. If you do 100 reach outs a day for a while, you get pretty good at it. But when you start in the beginning and you do 10 a day, you just tend to keep sucking because you never do enough to turn the corner to get enough reps in. So let me ask you a different question to maybe drive this home. Has anyone had a day where you had maybe a week where you had a lot of sales? You had 2, 3, 4 appointments a day for like a week straight. Can I get a hand? Okay. Did you feel like you were way hotter? Like when you were selling, you're like, okay, because you get these fast feedback loops. You're like, all right, I got another one in another one in an hour. And then you like practice again. Ooh. And so like you're sharpening the sword. On the flip side, you have a dead week and you have like 2 sales consults. It's like you got to like brush the rust off, right? Like the amount that you work, the amount of volume you do will directly feed into how good you are at it. And that's why the rich keep getting richer, is that they do more. And by doing more, they get more from their more. They get better too. And so that's how skills start compounding, and that's how you can just blow everyone away. Like the idea that any single person here gives a shit what the guy down the street is doing baffles me. It just doesn't matter at all. Because that guy is like everyone else here and not even advertising. And he's mispriced and he's breaking even though his classes are, there are people running outside looking crazy. He still doesn't take any money home. You know how I know? Because I've looked at so many gym owner P&Ls. No one makes money except for the guys who track their stuff, know their inputs, actually advertise, work their leads, price appropriately, and remind customers to actually use the gym. It's just that the bar for winning is not that high. And so I was going to wait to make this like the last part of the presentation, but I'm going to end up going here, so whatever. I don't understand why you don't do this. Because like, everything you want is on the other side of you getting the business that works, that generates a profit, that keeps your customers happy, that provides for your team. Like everything that you want is on the other side of that. And you're on Facebook. And I don't get it. I don't get it. It's beyond me. And so, and this is the part that I said was similar between companies of this size. So I'm going to give you hopefully the highest ROI hack that you will only be able to do at this level, under $150,000 a month. You'll never be able to get this again. It will only happen at this stage. And so when I think about conferences and workshops and things that I've attended, you all have a lot of notes. You have a lot of stuff written down that you're like, I need to do all 7 pages of these notes. But we'll be real, you'll fly back, you'll put the notes somewhere, or that Google Doc will start moving down in the recency thing, and then you'll be like, oh, wait, what was I gonna do? And so, realistically, you have like a sticky note that has like 3 things on it that you're actually gonna do. Everything else, really great ideas, might not be what you need right now. Because every business only has 1 constraint. And until you can deconstrain it, it will stay stuck. And then when you do that, it will grow until its next constraint. And that's how business works. And so I want to make sure that the 3 things on that sticky note are the right 3 things that will make you the most money. So what if I told you that there were a way that you could get, so who right now, imagine your best employee. Who here has employees, just to make sure? I've got, okay, thank God. Okay, so imagine the best employee you have. If you could have twice that, would you make more money? Would you be willing to pay $1,500 a month? This isn't going where you think it is. $1,500 a month to get that employee, a double, a clone, if you will, of that employee. Would you do it?
Yes.
All right. So, the average American spends 24 hours per month on food. Food. As in going to the grocery store, prepping, cooking, cleaning up after yourself, consuming the food, and cleaning up after the dishes that you made. All of that, 24 hours a month. The average American also, so this is food, for cleaning their homes, spends, you know what? It might be per week, I can't remember. I'll just say the three levers, and I don't remember the stats. But for cleaning, it's like 20 hours per month that people spend. And then laundry is like 19 or something. All of these on a monthly basis add up to 96 hours, which is what I actually remember. Between all the time you spend on food, all the time you spend cleaning, all the time you spend doing laundry, all the time you spend doing human stuff, like things for your human, this body bag you got to walk around in, right? Really annoying. If I could delegate like going to the bathroom and showering, like, dear God, it'd be awesome. There's a point to this. You can get 96 hours a month back by paying $1,500 a month to get someone to make all your food for you, clean your house, and do your laundry. And hold on. And you would do this for the most valuable person in your business who's not your employee, it's you. You're happy to do it for them, but you don't do it for you because you don't want to waste money. But you would literally do it for a teammate who's not as good as you, and I'm making a bet here because they don't own the business and they're probably not as skilled as you are because you probably taught them half the stuff they know. And you're not doing it. And so I want to break this, like, if I can get every single person here 96 hours a month, it's more than two full work weeks. And the difference is, like, I don't get into, like, stop watching Netflix and television and all that stuff because that's another 100 hours. But you guys like that stuff and you're not going to stop. So who cares? I'm not even going to get into it. You are. Whatever. But no one likes this. Now, if you like cooking, fine. That's leisure. But, like, prepping your food, prepping other people's food, going grocery shopping. No one's like, man, I just love grocery shopping. Well, some of you do. You're fucking weird. But, but it's not worth it. And so right now, I'm laddering up to this. The 4 hours a day that no one here is spending to actually grow their company, I just found it. And for $1,500 a month, and I said, you can only do this once. I can only outsource my food one time in my career. After that, I don't get the gain again. You're at a point where you have to start valuing your time and being willing to trade dollars for time. Like, if you had to hire somebody for $2,000 a month, you're like, oh, wow, what a steal. But I'm asking you to hire yourself for another 96 hours a month by getting rid of all this stuff on your plate that's not making you money. And so when I go back to this idea of the stuff that grows your business is really straightforward. And so I was racking my brain. I was like, why don't people do this? And maybe you're tired, maybe you're distracted. Well, when I had these meetings where I talked to these smaller, you know, with the business owners that are between 10 and 150,000 a month, this is what they're telling me they're spending their time on. Stop. And I promise you, if you spend 96 hours a month on the constraint of your business, it will grow a lot. And then you'll be here, and everyone's like, what was your secret? You're like, Alex told me I should stop cooking my own food. And then I started working my leads. And we made more money. If you can make more than $15 an hour actively working, because that's what $1,500 divided by 96 is roughly, then it's worth it. Now, if you do that and then you do nothing with the extra 96 hours, then shame on you. You deserve to be poor. So, please do that. It's on the sticky on the sticky note for the day. Is that maybe sticky point number one? Spend 4 hours a day on the constraint of my business. Sticky note number two, make sure that I actually get those 4 hours a day in by paying for all the things that are not that. And so once you're really clear on the things that you actually have to do from an activity perspective, the rest becomes elimination. And so right now, a lot of you guys have a lot of things on your to-do list, right? I'm sure, especially leaving here, like, oh my God, I have all the stuff I have to do. But I would encourage you to focus on your to-don't list. Like really, really. I get a lot of credit for the speed that we moved in business. And I would put a disproportionate amount of effort or weight on the fact that we just try not to spend time doing stuff that doesn't matter. And trying to not spend time wasting mental energy on things that I can buy to replace. And so like when I was a single guy, I get made fun of on TikTok now for it, but like I just went to Chipotle for all my meals. I never bought groceries because it didn't make any sense. Because I was like, well, if I close a sale, that's $500. And that's all my Chipotle for like 2 weeks. And then I can not worry about food at all. And then the next hour, I can close another $500 and be like, well, that's my cleaning for the month. And then the next hour, right? You see what I'm saying here? But if you think small, you stay small. Like, you got to be willing to take the bet. And if there's ever been somebody to reinvest your time into getting more skills, why on earth would you not do it for you?
So,
okay, so I'm going to do two more. Okay, I'm good. So I'm going to do two more quick topics. So one of the things that I prided myself on was buying education, buying experiences, buying help to move faster. And anyone here have a client that you're like, they're just an amazing client. I could have just said like, run that way and just eat less and they would have just succeeded. Any like hands if you had that client? I love that client. They leave the best testimonials. They're the great before and after pictures. On the other hand, who here's had Susan? You already know Susan. We all know Susan, right? Susan has a slow metabolism, all right? And she has very bad genetics. And big boned is, you know, everyone in her family is. And, you know, she's been to a couple doctors. They gave her some medications, and nothing's worked. And you know when you start, she's already blamed 9 people for the fact that she cannot control this. Being real, how do you think you get fat? This. Just this. This one activity. That's it. And she's blamed every other person on earth for the fact that she can't stop doing it. Some of you guys are Susan with your business. You're not this person who can go watch a YouTube video and immediately execute everything and be an amazing client. You're Susan. You're saying, my market sucks. My leads are bad. Like this, the price change didn't work for me. My churn's high because people don't value my product. Duh. And so it's just this loser, victim, wanting to buy things only to prove that it won't work for you so that you can be self-affirmed in the fact that it's not your fault. It's ridiculous. It's Susan. You're Susan. Susan sucks. And the thing is that like, if like even one of you is like, you know what, I do kind of do that. My goal of every time I get into anything that's education-based has always been to not be a success story, but to be the number one person they have ever had. And to be real, I was like, because it's about me, not you. I will win. I don't care if they're a mediocre teacher. I'll still learn it. And I'll still out-execute them, and I'll get better than they are at their own thing so that people start asking me to teach them. And that's more or less happened in my life. But the idea that you can have, like, there's no savior. Jim Welch is not your savior. We're not going to save anybody. We'll tell you the stuff that you need to do, and if you actually do it, you'll win. But the if you actually do it is the part that most people suck at. And so I'm trying to give you these hours things of like, okay, buy 96 hours back. And trying to give you this stuff of don't go into anything with the idea that you want, like, if you ever buy something with the intention of proving that it doesn't work, shame on you. It sucks. What a terrible way to live. Like, go into it trying to be the person who gets so good that the business asks you for advice. And I don't know where when something snaps in you, but like, I've seen it happen. I mean, there was a gym owner years ago who was a Susan, just moaned. It's all like, I'm moaning. Just moaning all day about his life. And I remember hopping on a call or being a little bit rougher than I normally am. And he like snapped out of it. And then he became one of the top gyms, and then we hired him on. Same guy, same information, completely different perspective on how he chose to execute it. And so like if you, like so many here, who here got into fitness because you like fitness? It was a passion of yours. Right, you need to start learning how to love business. Because if you treated your business the way you treated your body, you make a shitload more money. And so one of the interesting things about the fitness space is that I see the posts, I actually see a lot more of your guys' stuff than you guys think, where you make these posts about being disciplined, right? About doing the hard work when no one's looking, right? That's right, day 72, you know, still cranking, still out here 4 a.m., getting it in. But it doesn't make you tough because you like it. What makes you tough is doing shit you don't like. And right now you don't work your leads. You don't follow up with customers. You don't send handwritten cards. You don't have member events. You don't spend money on ads. You don't learn editing software so you can make better ads. You don't research what you're gonna say in the ad so that they're actually good. You don't practice your sales script. You don't set up your lobby. You don't put reviews online. You don't ask people for reviews. You don't ask people for referrals. You don't try and make affiliate partners. But you're tough, because you can drink egg whites. The only person you fool is you. And so I want everyone here to make a lot of money. And I want you guys to have the gyms you want. And believe it or not, the gym business has not changed. You still have to promote it. You still have to convert those leads. And then when they come in, you have to price appropriately so that when you're at capacity, you're making a lot of money. And you have to do whatever you can to keep people. That's not going to change. It's just your dedication to the execution of it that will. And so I'll bring up my second to last point, depending on when they kick me off. Your team sucks. We thought earlier about your favorite employee, right? Now picture your least favorite employee. Also Susan. Susan sucks. So Susan, everybody got Susan in their mind, that one person that you're like, you know, it's our second quarter in a row. I think she's gonna turn the corner. Yeah, I mean, she can be tough sometimes. Yeah. Fire Susan. Please, fire Susan. She's not gonna turn around. She's not gonna make her business better. What you see is her best behavior. Her best behavior. And the moment you fire her, you're gonna hear horror stories from all the customers that are gonna come up to me and be like, oh my God, thank God you fired Susan. She was sleeping here once. Oh my gosh, the other day, you wouldn't believe what she said to me. All of this stuff, fire Susan. Because the other thing that Susan does is she sets the bar for your standards. And I can tell you that one of the biggest things that, like, if I can identify something in an entrepreneur to know that they're going to win, I just look at their team. I don't even have to look at them. I just, because they're the ones doing it. And I'll tell you a story. At least if I tell you, I can tell a PG version of this. I'm just going to be real with you. So when I started talking to private equity groups to consider selling a portion of Gymwatch so that we could reinvest in some of the stuff that you guys will see soon. It's dope. I had all these calls with investment bankers and private equity groups. And I remember so starkly the contrast between the quality of the questions that they were asking and how intelligent every single person on their team was compared to my team that I had built. And we built, you know, $50, $100 million business. Not bad. But they were going to go make an extra $3 billion. And it was this moment where I was like, oh, there's just more levels. It just keeps going. Steve Jobs spent the vast majority of his time bringing in talent. Because fundamentally, someone else can run your facility better than you. The problem is that you can't get that person to work for you because of who you are, because of the people that you allow to be in your vicinity. They would walk in, they would see the other people and be like, oh, I don't want to associate with them. And they just walk out the other side. And so you need to raise your standards. And right now, I'll bet that the vast majority of the people that work in your business are mediocre. And that's why your gym's mediocre. Because if we're being real, they're the ones that are doing everything. They're the ones that are teaching the classes. They're the ones not working the leads when you tell them to. They're the ones not following the sales script when the person walks in the door. They're the one forgetting to write the handwritten cards. They're the ones that show up late to the event that they're supposed to be the champions of and invite their people to, but they didn't. They're the ones that don't wear the uniform the way you ask them to because they want to be special. Has anyone dealt with any of this stuff? Yes. But you tolerate it. And so it's your fault. And so the better, the higher my standards have become, the better my teams have become, the easier business has gotten, because solving the business problems aren't complicated. It's the everything else. It's the fact that Susan still takes up your time. The fact that you, like, when you're in bed at night and you're talking to your spouse and you're like, God, Susan, I want to believe her, but this is the third time she was late, and I'm just, third time. What happened after the first one? Right? And we're spending all this time, all this bandwidth that you could be spending actually improving the business? Not. And so Susan's cost isn't just the fact that she sucks at her job. She also repels anyone who's good. She also is bad with customers. And she drains the single most important resource from the most valuable employee in the business, which is you. And so you just have to raise the standards. Like, if I was going to spend a day with each of you, I can promise you, half the conversation, I'd be like, okay, so when you leave here today, you're gonna stop spending 96 hours a month on stuff that you can outsource for $1,500. You're going to spend the 4 hours you just gained back actually doing whatever the constraint of the business is so you actually make more money. And you're going to get rid of all the people who suck. Now, part of you, I can already hear it, like, but what am I going to do with the bad work that she's going to stop doing? Right? What am I going to do about the work she's not doing that she pretends to do that I pay her for anyways? And this is the real talk. Burning through these pages. I would say you can say it with me, but we're going to mistime it. It'll be really messy. So you can just think it with me. Double time. So this is a concept that I have spent almost my entire life living by, which is that I spend half my day working tomorrow's job and the other half of the day working my day job. And by thinking about my time this way, I can move on double time. I can move at twice the speed. But that does compound over time. And so if you have to take Susan's work over, I'll bet you that what took Susan 20 hours that you pay her 40 for, you can do in 5. And because you haven't done it in a while, you'll probably realize there's a bunch of systems you probably clean up. And then you'll get closer to the customers, not a bad thing. And when you bring that next person in, you'll have been fresh on it and you can actually train them how to do it the right way. And put a good feedback loop in for when they do it right. So one of the big problems with management overall is that it's basically, if I don't say anything, you're doing great. And when you mess up, I hammer you. What you want to be able to do is give people a cookie when a plane lands on time, rather than only when plane crashes happen. Because it's kind of like if you do something for your spouse, let's say you wash the dishes because they like that you wash the dishes. If you do that 3, 4, 5 times and they never say thanks, you're just like, either this isn't important or I don't need to do this. And they think the same way about their role. So if you just say, hey, do this thing, and you never say it again and you ever tell them a good job when they do it, they will do it one time and then stop doing it because you didn't talk about it. And then you find out months later that this thing you thought was happening isn't happening and you've been paying them for it the whole time. And so I promise you, if you think Susan sucks, she probably sucks more than you think she does. And she's not doing nearly as much work as you think she is either. And the work she is doing, also probably not that good. So we have our big sticky note. Number one, 4 hours per day on the constraint, which for what it sounds like everybody here is you're not advertising enough. Number two, you're going to replace all of the time that you spend doing human stuff, you're going to pay someone else to do it for you. So I'm going to say replace hours with vendors for human stuff. Three, get rid of Susan. But here's the thing. I say this, we laugh, we have a good time, you get on the plane, you go back, and guess what you don't do? You don't get rid of Susan. So let's explore this. You don't get rid of Susan because you're afraid of the conversation. And not the way you think it is. Not that you're afraid of Susan. I'm not afraid of Susan. Yeah, I know. I know you're not afraid of Susan. To some degree, you like Susan. Susan was there in the beginning. You know, she hasn't been always the best, but she's been there for you, you know? And you care about her as a human being. And you're like, I don't know what Susan's going to be able to do. I don't even know if she'll be able to get a job after this. Imagine, no one wants to hire Susan, and that's what you're afraid of. You're like, so I'll do it. And so you then decide, you know, I'm just going to have a talking tour with her. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to fire. I know Alex said this, but I know better. So I'm just going to tell her she's missing expectations. And it's not her fault. It's not your fault, Susan. I haven't been a good communicator, and I haven't been clear about it. And it's okay. This is good. This is communication. This is how we get better, right? You have this whole talk, and Susan keeps sucking. We laugh. But this is what's going to happen for 90% of you in the room. You're not going to do it. And so the reason the vast majority of business owners stay mediocre, stay small, is because they can't make the hard call. They can't say, I love you, Susan. I also love every other person who works in this business and all of the customers. And so I have to let you go. And I still love you as a human being. And then you're like, wow, that felt great. Jeez. And then you look and you're like, oh my God, she did this all wrong. And then you have space to go bring someone else in who's right. Because the process of building the gym is that you learn all the roles, you do them well, you train someone else to do them, and then eventually, if you get all those people right, you don't have to do anything. And you can own the asset. And then you can do it again. As a side note, I haven't seen anybody scale brick and mortar chain service businesses without having an operator that has a profit share. I'm just letting you guys know, this is what I've seen. It's usually 10 to 20%. They usually make somewhere in the neighborhood of like 75 to 100,000 a year. So if right now you're like, I would really like this thing to just be an asset that makes me money, until you can get to that point, it's not in the cards. Because somebody who really can run the business is gonna make $75,000 to $100,000 today to do it. And so you need to get everything so dialed that they can make that and you make money. That's how it has to work. So I'm just telling you guys right now, because the amount of you, seen this one too, my gym's making money. I just signed a lease to my second location, even though I was literally not profitable 4 months before gym launch. Santana's seen it. You've seen it a lot of times. A lot of times. Don't be that gym owner. Get it so that you are bored out of your mind for months on end, and you keep hitting KPI, you keep growing, you keep becoming more profitable. If you can't leave the business for 6 months and it still grow, you are not ready, the business model isn't ready. Now, some of you are like, man, that's a really high bar. Welcome to growing a legitimate business. It's what it is. So, we have 5 minutes left. I wanna make sure that the sticky note that you actually do when you get home has the right stuff on it. Okay. So, who here, after hearing this, is like, I'm not advertising enough? Thank you. Who here is going to get rid of all the human stuff for $1,500 a month so they can do that? Thank you. And who here, for the love of God, instead of wussing out and pretending like you're making progress and saying that you didn't communicate when you really know that Susan's never going to make it, and maybe you just have to say, I'm not good enough of a manager. And you just have to say, I'm not good enough of a manager. You're amazing. I suck. Either way, it's not working because I can't fire me. I still got to be here. Sorry. Full credit, that's a Layla quote. For the love of God, get rid of Susan. And I'll give you a belief that I have about talent, which is that you absolutely can train anyone to do anything. I believe that in my core. The question is whether it's worth it. Like, I think everybody here could be a neurosurgeon if given enough time. It's just that who's gonna pay for that? And some of you would take a while. A while. I've seen some of your hands, man. Some fucking sausage. Like, I don't know, brain. You could do it eventually. But the question is whether you want to be the one to incur the cost. Because fundamentally, all business is reallocation of resources. You have time, you've got money, and you've got energy. And you put it in, and the people who get the best returns on it make the most money. And so when you're spending all this time on Susan, you could just take a 7 and make them a 10. And it would take you less time. You literally get a better employee to be better, even faster, instead of riding this ride you keep having with Susan over and over again. Does everyone know who their Susan is in their mind right now? So, number 3 on the sticky note. Will you please, for the love of God, get rid of Susan? Actually, can I get hands? All right, please remember if you raise your hand, and 30 days from now, if Susan's still here, I just need you to write on your mirror. And just accept the fact that you can't have hard conversations and you will never grow your business. You're in a service business. Service businesses are people. It's culture and training. All of those are interacting with others. If you cannot have a hard conversation, which I define a hard conversation as something, it's easy to have a hard conversation with someone you hate. Because you're like, I've been waiting for this. I hate this guy. Yeah, Todd, you know when you're taking all those pictures of you shirtless in the bathroom? Yeah, customers didn't like it. But I've been such a good, yeah, gotta go. Sorry, man, totally believe you, think you're amazing. Be awesome. And you're like, I hope that guy never calls me again. Easy if you hate the guy. Hard if you like the person. But like, this is what being a grown-up is. It's like, you got to be able to have these hard conversations. You got to be able to say, it's not working out. And so many of you have personnel issues. I know this because I've spent days and days and days and days with deep dives in the business. And honestly, you don't need a deep dive in the business. What you're not doing is obvious. And so I put all my effort on why you're not doing it, which is that your time is getting sucked up with human stuff and your attention's getting drained by girls like Susan and guys like Todd. Cool? All right. Thank you guys so much.